Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
This morning's scripture reading or text comes from Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, and we'll be looking at this in its entirety. With the word open before us, let us go to him in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we are poor and needy. We need your help. We need your help of the Holy Spirit to work within us, to enlighten us, not to make the word truth within our souls, but to reveal the truth which is before us with your word. Lord, we pray that your statutes might be our songs. Lord, as we go in a house of sojourning, we realize that we are not home yet. We pray that your statutes might be songs toward us. I pray that we would remember your name in the night and the day as we keep your law. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word Lord from Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. This is God's holy and inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Who is this? Whose young woman is this?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink when the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered, "All that I have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother in your native land and came to the people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." And she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. And when she arose to glean, Boaz instructed his young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it to her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned the field until the evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw that she had what she had gleaned. She also brought out what she gave her, what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Bless the man who took notice of you." And she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today was Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he bless the Lord by the Lord, be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest." And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young man, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Thus ends the reading of God's inerrant, infallible word. Thanks be to God. Have you ever heard the statement, "A close of one chapter is just the beginning of another"? This is very much the case for Sarah and I as we embarked to come to America. We were engaged and looking to come over here to get married, settle down, and start our life together as a young married couple. But there was many hurdles that we needed to jump to be able to allow myself, an Australian citizen, to come here and be able to enter the country. There's a long process of going through visas and applications, waiting for those visas and applications to be looked at, reviewing those visas and applications if they came back, lots of paperwork, lots of waiting, an expensive medical exam, an interview at the American embassy in a different state. And finally, we had got the approval to come into the country, finally got this approval for my visa. However, once we landed in America, there was all these other things that needed to come up. We needed to plan a wedding, needed to work out where we were going to live, needed to work out how we were going to get employment, especially for me as I wasn't able to work at that point. So we needed all these things. More paperwork, more fingerprint scans. Now, getting to America was quite an accomplishment. It was quite the end of a chapter, but really the beginning of another. There was other things that we needed to deal with and face. And now, Naomi and Ruth are in a similar position. Not going through visas and applications, but they've come to the close of a chapter and a beginning of a new one. They have come now to Judah, going from the fields of Moab, spending a long time there, Ruth living there her whole life, leaving her family and her friends, all this behind, to come and live in Judah with her mother-in-law. And then also Naomi has been over 10 years in Moab, and now she has come. And the close of one chapter begins with the opening of another. They're now back in Judah, but back in Judah in this period of the time of the judges. The first thing we see in this passage is that they need to go and find food. That Ruth the Moabite says to Naomi in verse 2, "Let me go into a field and glean among the ears of grain." In verse 3, "So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers." One of the greatest hurdles that Ruth and Naomi would have to deal with first is to find food. How do you survive? What do you eat? We can live in a historical bubble that makes this really hard for us to be able to comprehend and understand. I think there's two historical bubbles that we live in that makes it hard for us to really grasp what this actually would have been like. We live in a food and a support bubble. This means as we can preserve food, our food lasts a long time. We have refrigeration and we have the ability to freeze meats and all these different types of things, canned goods. We have all these processes to be able to do this. And not only we have the ability to preserve food, we also have the ability to be able to go just purchase food wherever we want. As long as you have money, you can go into a store and buy food. Walk down the aisles of grocery store, there's a whole aisle at the grocery store dedicated to cereal. Just, you can choose your choice of cereal. It doesn't matter, you just need this ability to be able to choose. Even houses that are climate controlled and fridges and place them in a box that regulates the temperature to preserve them for a large amount of time. Not only if we can store food and then also use money to buy food, we also, even if we really hit hard times, we could go to potentially the government to help support us in our difficult time. Government in our country has a good welfare system. You can go get food stamps, go collect unemployment, have social security, so even if you reach a certain age, you're able to be able to survive. Even with housing, having things like Section 8. If you really hit a very hard time in your life, not your bubble, you have this security bubble, which you can fall upon. However, not only do we have the ability to be able to preserve food, and even if that was to fall, we have this welfare system we'd be able to rely on. The Middle East in the, 1100 BC, the family unit was that security. You would turn to for this help. But not only do we live in this bubble of food and security, we live in a different bubble of social economics. We really live in an industrial age, but I think even moving past that, we're probably more in an informational age. You used to be able to, 100 years ago, you'd sell industrial things, products that you manufactured, potentially services that you had. The production of mass-produced things. But even now, large companies rely not on selling products as such. You sell your information on to another. You can get free products if you just give people your email. This is all they want. This is a way of marketing. But in this past time, we moved from a culture of hunting and gathering to, with the population increase, hunting and gathering wasn't as common. They moved to a more agricultural system. And this system of economics is what was happening in the time of Ruth. This agrarian economic society. It's centered around, not around industry or information, but agriculture. This is the backbone of what the society has. Crops and farmland. This is why having a famine in the first verse in Ruth is so important. Because not only you might be going through a hard time, that you have bad crops and farmland, that means that it's widespread. It's not just one particular person has a bad year. It's a collection of people, an area which has a terrible time. What happens then with families and family units? Who do you go turn to if they don't have help as well? Even in 2020, we've seen some industries crippled by this pandemic. However, some industries have blossomed. But imagine if 80% of our economy was based on this entertainment section. How that would have affected our economy. What happened? This famine strikes, and not only they have this issue now of trying to deal with this welfare, they've got this issue of the economic system as well. So Elimelech might have sold his land or passed on his land, left his land there for a long time just to be able to feed his family, moved to Moab. But then even when the Lord comes and visits His people and provided them with bread, an abundance of bread, when you don't have land, how can you produce revenue? Many other cultures, women couldn't hold a title. However, in Israel's culture, you could actually hold a title as a woman. But how do you get that title back after selling it before? We need to understand these bubbles as we come to Ruth. This is desperate times. And she goes out just to find food put on the table. But we also need to understand the law this time as well. The law actually provided really situations for this. That if you sold your family land just to be able to survive, or even you sold yourself into slavery, so that you would be able to you would have food on the table, maybe be able to provide for your family. This is what the prodigal son says, right? He's better to go back to his master's house and be a servant than he is to be on his own. He realized being a slave or a servant in his father's house meant that he would have food. This is the case here. But the land wasn't actually yours to hold. It was really, you were leasing it from God. God gave Abraham and all of Israel the land. So it's God's. And God divided this out. And you were more just caretakers of this land. And if you sold your land to be able to put food on the table, every Jubilee, which is every seven years, so there's cycles of seven, and every seventh cycle of 7 years, so 49 years, they would have this time of Jubilee, and your land would go back to your house. It wasn't held in perpetuity. It was yours to lease, and you leased it to someone else so you could feed yourself. So if someone had to sell their land because of this high financial situation, they eventually would get it back. This is what happened probably to Elimelech. He sold his land to move on. Now, Naomi is in Moab for 10 years, so even if they left at a Jubilee and they came back, they still had a long time to go before this land would come back. Even if they had to wait another 7 years, they can't even put food on their table. Mosaic law teaches us that all these great principles of understanding, what we can call general equity, so often, the law required landowners to look after poor and widows as well, and orphans. This was what they called the practice of leaning. That you wouldn't just go through and you would go through your whole land and you'd pick it dry. You'd pick every bit of grain there is. You would only be able to walk through your land once. And whatever you left, you left. And the opportunity of gleaning was that as you walked through, you would leave ears of corn and you'd leave ears of grain and things like this. And widows and orphans could go through after and they could go collect their food. Now this wasn't that they have an abundance of food, but it was an opportunity for them to be able to be fed. You'd go through some land and there might be some that's not ripe yet. You might just miss something. If you've ever grown a garden and you find this enormous cucumber that you didn't know was there. This is kind of what can happen. You miss things. This is an excellent example of the second commandment, right? You love your neighbor as yourself. Or would not have really changed their status through their practice, but they would have had food on their table. But this probably was not common practice in the time of Ruth. Although it's written in the law, it doesn't mean that everyone does this. Remember, it's in the period of Judges, and the last verse in Judges is that there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Maybe they went through and gleaned everything dry. This is what Naomi does to do. She goes out to try and glean something to eat. Let me go into a field and glean among the ears of grain. Goes there to be able to hopefully find just something to be able to eat. She actually, just not by chance, but by God's fatherly hand, comes across the field of a man named Boaz. She starts early in the morning, she takes a short rest, but as she's working, she captures this eye of Boaz. He comes to check on his field. What she actually finds, she goes and finds food, but she actually finds favor. Boaz is not like other men. During this time in Israel's history, Boaz is generally devoted to God. Even in this terrible time, there are still is a still faithful remnant of God worshippers. And as Boaz comes to Bethlehem, you can see this as he greets his reapers. The Lord be with you. The covenant name of God, Yahweh. Yahweh be with you. Passes this on to their his reapers, but also they respond, and the Lord bless you. As he greets this first chief reaper, he explains and asks who this person is that is gleaning amongst the fields. And he hears about Ruth and her story we read in chapter 1. She's from Moab. She came here with Naomi. This great kindness. This has said loyalty. But we see that Boaz just doesn't fulfill the law. He goes above and beyond the law to be able to care for Ruth. He provides a great amount of things, showing his favor on her. The first thing he does is he provides protection. You're in the period of judges, everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. You could just imagine, doesn't take long to be able to connect the dots. There's some lady in this enormous field by herself. No one there to be able to hold people accountable. So these group of men could come and abuse her. But here Boaz is, he provides her with protection. He goes and tells her in verse 8, "Do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep it close to my young women." Not only does he give this protection to be able to stay close to these other women, he also has charged his men not to touch you. So not only he just doesn't put her in a safe position, he provides protection for her and threatens his workers, "Do not touch her." Women would have been in a very vulnerable position. Again, alone in a field, not many witnesses. I'm sure this is common place where women would have been assaulted and raped. This is exactly what Ruth, Naomi says to Ruth in verse 22 when she comes back. "It is good for you to go out with these young women, lest in another field you might be assaulted." Doesn't only provide protection for her, provides protection for her not to feel ashamed, not to rebuke her. In 15 and 16, it says, "Let her glean among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. Do not make her blush," the Young's Little Translation says. Shame. Shame a widow. Shame a foreigner for being able to have food. Don't make her feel guilty. Don't rebuke her. He provides protection, but he also provides water. The law provided that you might glean among the fields, but you could just imagine how you could use this to be able to say, "I upheld the law," but someone would need to go out and glean among the fields. But as they went and gleaned among the fields, they would get thirsty being out in the hot Middle Eastern sun. So therefore, you would keep their time short of gleaning because they wouldn't have any water for themselves, or they'd have to go and tire themselves more. But Boaz comes and not only provides protection, but he provides water for her. It says at the end of verse 9, "When you're thirsty, go to these vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Not only is providing a water source for her, he's also getting his young men to be able to lift the water out of the well so that she might just be able to drink water. It's one of those prime examples of realizing the heart of the law, not the letter of the law. And this is what Boaz does. Not only he provides protection, he provides water, he provides her lunch and wine in verse 14. Verse 14, he invites her over as he's feeding his workers, and he says, "Come and eat some bread, and dip your bread in the morsel in the wine." She sat in the reapers, she was fed like an employee. Passes her roasted grain. Not only does he give her grain from her fields to be able to reap, gives her food to be able to sustain herself. Not just a small amount of food, just like leftovers, enough to be able to sustain her. It says that until she was satisfied with some left over. Here's some of his wine with her. Think about what great expense this is to Boaz. This isn't a wise business decision. He's not making any money off Ruth. Actually, she's costing him money. The workers' time to be able to lift the more water, the cooking of the bread, the wine, the process, the stuff that he could potentially sell. But he's going again above and beyond. Doesn't give her crumbs at the table, but a feast. Not only he provides protection, water, food, lunch, also gives her bundles of grain. We see this in verse 16. And he commands his reapers to go out and put some bundles with her and leave it for her to glean. So his workers have gone through done the hard job of harvesting all these bundles, which they're heaped together. Why don't you just go put these bundles that are already together in the field that she might be able to go and collect them? Not just one bundle, but many bundles. Not only he provides protection, water, food, extra bundles, but also stability. Verse 21, Ruth tells Naomi, Boaz said to him, "You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest." So it just wasn't one day of this provision of protection, water, food, and all these other things. It was a whole season where she could go. She knew she would get fed. She would get fed well, be looked after. This is what Boaz has done. You need to understand that Boaz is going above and beyond what the law actually requires of him to be able to look after Ruth and Naomi. This kindness comes at a great cost to Boaz. Every bundle that he gives to Ruth is money that he would not be able to get in the market. Every hour that his workers are not working is money that he has to provide for his workers and the loss of income which is derived to that. And even every grain that Ruth picks while working among the reapers, not just following along if they missed anything, she was with the reapers, it was lost income for him. Ruth goes out to find grain, goes out to find just food for a day. But she finds far more than that. She finds stability, protection, food to be able to get her through not just a day, but a long period of time. And as she went out to glean in verse 2, she says that she's going out to glean that she might find favor. Boaz is giving her water, bread, wine at a great expense to himself throughout this whole harvest. Boaz is very generous. He sees his wealth as a means of blessing those who are less fortunate to him. And Ruth turns when she meets him initially in verse 10. She falls down on her face and bowing. Why have I found favor in your eyes? You should take notice of me. I'm just a foreigner. I'm just a Moabite. I'm new to this area. I'm a widow. As a society, I'm low down on the rung. Why have you provided blessing to me? Found favor. Was not sure why Boaz was showing her favor. This foreigner. Boaz explains that it's because of her loyalty to Naomi. Boaz's answer is that what you've done to your mother-in-law in verse 11, since the death of your husband, has been told. The women come back and the women at the gate are asking, "Is this Naomi?" He says, "Well, this is Naomi." But they're not only just talking about Naomi, they're talking about Ruth, so much so that the chief reaper knows all about what Ruth has done for her mother-in-law. That Ruth has left everything. And Boaz understands this, that she left her mother, her father, her native land. You even came to a people that you did not know. But also, he doesn't see the loyalty to Naomi, but her devotion to God. As we saw on the from the fields of Moab to the land of Judah, this great work of regeneration from Ruth going from this worshiper of Moabite gods to being devoted to God and worshiping Yahweh. Boaz explains this, that he has found favor because her loyalty to Naomi, but also her devotion to God. "The Lord repay you for what you have done," he says in verse 12. "For a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She didn't just come to Israel to be able to be with her mother-in-law, that she was saddened for her mother-in-law, just thought this might be good for her, a good opportunity. She came to Israel to come underneath the refuge of God, to be underneath His care. And she finds it here in the field of Boaz. Boaz explains that he's heard about her loyalty, but also her devotion to God. That you would come and be repaid for this peace and refuge under God's wings. Yahweh, the covenant God of Yahweh, this Moabite woman would find refuge underneath His wings. The word translated repay in the ESV is the same root letters of shalom. It means peace. Not just peace as we think of peace, absence of war. Shalom means more of wholeness, completion. Wholeness. The Ruth would find favor underneath Yahweh, the Lord. This metaphor of God as this mother bird protecting her chicks is common in the Bible. The metaphor is frequently used of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. In Exodus 19, verse 4, it says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and found, brought myself to you. You to myself." The same God who has done this, who has rescued slaves from another country, has now rescued Ruth. She might find favor underneath God. John Owen says, "Did you ever run to a tree to find shelter in a storm? And you find fruit which you did not expect? Did you never go to God for safeguard in these times, driven by outward storms, and there find unexpected fruit? It's the peaceable fruit of righteousness, that you might say, 'Happy tempest, which cast me in such a harbor.'" The image of running from this terrible storm, and all you're trying to do is just barely survive. And you run to try and find refuge in something, and once you find refuge in there, you actually find it is a place of beautiful dwelling, this safe harbor in which you can put your boat at the dock. And Ruth went out just seeking to find food. But she instead found favor underneath the wings of God. This fruit to be able to eat in this metaphor of this tree. Found favor of God, which was showed to her from Boaz. Went out to seek food, that she found food for a season and more. But not only did she go out to find food, and find favor, she actually found a Redeemer. When Ruth set out that day to find food, she had no idea that she would come across this field. Happened to come across this part of the field belonging to Boaz. It says in Ruth 2 verse 3, was the clan of Elimelech. Frequently we're told, as we're reading to this in chapter 2, we are told who Boaz is. Right in verse 1 and in verse 2 as well, we're told that Boaz is from the clan of Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband. We're told this several times. However, Ruth had no idea. She went back to food and she explains to Naomi she has found great favor in this man's sight. Comes back with about 8 pounds of barley. Naomi asks, "Where did you work today?" Ruth explains that she worked in the fields of Boaz. Ruth, she spoke of a very nice man who showed her great favor in the fields. However, Naomi's response in verse 20 is that may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. So as his favor is shown, and may he be blessed by the Lord, the Lord had not forgotten her, had not forsaken her. The Lord shows Naomi his steadfast love and his kindness. The word that is used here, hesed, which comes up very commonly in the book of Ruth, used in the blessing in Ruth 1:8. Word speaks of God's covenant faithfulness to His people. His steadfast love. It explains that Boaz is actually a close relative. Not just a close relative, but one of their redeemers. Before we ask the question what a Redeemer is, we need to note the hand of God's providence through this book. God doesn't speak to Ruth at the beginning of chapter 2 and explain, you need to go to this field at this day. There's no appearance of an angel of the Lord. The text clearly says that she just so happened to come across this field. But yet we see the hand of God's fatherly hand of providence working in this. She goes to the field, not only of Boaz, this generous man, this Boaz who is their redeemer. Goel in Hebrew. This word which is used. Not only they arrive at Judah at the start of barley harvest, and who so happens is having this barley harvest, Boaz, not only who has having this barley harvest, Boaz, and Boaz is a kinsman redeemer of Ruth and Naomi. And not only that, but they actually crossed each other's path. But Boaz saw her. All these things you might just think, they were just happening by chance, but they come by the Father's hand. And a redeemer, or a goel, is someone who pays the price on behalf of a relative who has sold themselves or their property to someone else. Basically buy the rest of the lease, as they don't sell it in perpetuity, remember. They sell it for a period of time. And when they go and sell it, they sell it for a period of time until the land is up in the year of Jubilee. But if so happen you have come out of your difficult financial situation, you can buy it back for yourself, or you can get a relative, a redeemer, to redeem that land for you. They can pay the rest of what that year is. If there's 10 years before now in the land of Jubilee, you would pay that period, that lease basically, for that period of 10 years. You'd buy the rest of that lease back from them, as in Leviticus 25. If your brother becomes poor and he sells part of his property, his nearest brother shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. And then the book of Ruth, the word redeem or redeemer occurs 21 times. The central theme, Ruth really is a great book to come and understand Mosaic law because you're confronted with it a lot. One of these things is redeemer. It's used 100 times in the Old Testament. So every 1 in 5 times you go look for this word, it will end up in the book of Ruth. She comes to this field of Boaz. Not only does she go to find food, but at the end she finds favor. Not only then she finds favor, she finds a redeemer, which is very important to the rest of this book. This word redeemer and redemption actually is used in the New Testament to speak of Christ and His death and His redemption for our transgressions. In Hebrews 9:15 it says, therefore He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. The law of a kinsman redeemer is actually a shadow of Christ. Christ coming as our brother to redeem us from this price. There's no year of Jubilee where our sins are just washed clean. For if there was even a year, our sins were washed clean. As soon as that new year would start, we'd start banking up this new debt that we would need to get paid. And Christ comes to redeem His people, His family, and we need redemption. We are the ones that are sold into this slavery of sin, unable to pay the debt which we owe. And Christ, the true Redeemer, redeems Himself for His bride, the church. Christ redeems His people. Boaz is a great example of Christ's likeness. I don't believe Boaz is a type of Christ, but I think he does show Christ's likeness, as any believer does. That Christ shows favor to those less fortunate to Himself, especially to Ruth. Christ shows favor to us. Boaz provides protection. Christ protects us. Boaz provided food in abundance. Christ gave Himself the bread of life. Boaz redeemed the line of Elimelech. My God is my king, is what Elimelech means. who would be in the line of David, the king of Israel, who would culminate that Jesus as the true King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Whose wings do you come and find refuge in? Do you find refuge in coming and saying that I'm a moral person, I'm a good person? And this is what you rest in? You find refuge in your status in society? Do you hang around the right people? You have the right friends? Makes you feel worthwhile? Hold an important position in your work? You find refuge in your attendance in church and seek that this is what you really accomplish? You've got a near perfect record of going to church. Find refuge in your friends. How many friends you have? Who they are? Do you find refuge in God? You could lose all of these other things and yet have God. That is all the refuge you need. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look for thee for grace. Thou I fly to the fountain fly, wash me Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, my eyelids close in death. When I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Cleft of ages, rock of ages cleft to me, let me hide myself in thee. You find refuge in God. If your friends were to abandon you, your social status in society was to crumble and to fall, you were to tumble into this great horrific sin, you were to miss church, would your life fall? Would you turn to God for refuge? Come to God with nothing. Go merely just to find a crumb from a table, yet we're invited to His table as a feast. Come, come underneath the wings of God's refuge and turn to Him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You that You are the giver of all good gifts. Lord, we give thanks to You that You have not left us to our own devices, left us to save ourselves, but You have provided for us a Redeemer who has shown us great favor. Lord, let us find refuge in You underneath Your wings. You are the true God, the living God. We worship and praise and adore You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.